Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men Originals podcast. I am Paul Machin, Chris Page, Chloe Bloxham, Steve Hall, all in the studio on the couches with me.
In the hiso. Are they really doing that? Please do. Go for it. Why not?
Yeah. I did see a random Ben Affleck clip from Jay and Silent Bob's trip back to the day, and it gave me a real hankering to go back and watch it. But
great films.
We've got our wonderful people here in the studio. We're going to be talking about Liverpool, Chelsea. We're going to be talking ahead to the FA Cup against Brighton. We're going to be continuing with our agony rant section in the middle as well to make sure we've got everything off our chest that needs to be. We have got a kick-off question. It comes from Ben Finney. And unfortunately, it is fractionally too far away from me. There we go. We've got it on the screen. What absolutely ridiculous offer would be enough to make you take the Everton job, Chris?
If they could...
Ben Ballantyne, by the way.
I'm not sure it really works, but fuck it. If they could just... If the inset could delete the picture of me in an Everton shirt, I'll take the Everton job.
Just replace it with you in an Everton tacky.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Good.
I would. What you mean? So you got a more up to date kit?
Well, yeah, exactly. 15 years old, that. But I'd love to take him down.
I think you'd suit that like black beanie with the Everton crest on the Lampard.
No, I don't think I would.
I don't think anyone does.
They're trying to change the badge on the sly without them noticing, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, they go into that tower. Is it Rupert's Tower or something? They go into that on the sly because they had all that uproar, didn't they, a few years ago?
It looked like a BDSM pig.
Yeah. So what they've done now is they've started to use the tower on different things on its own. And now that no one's noticing that they're doing it, and then they will eventually just change the badge.
Good on them.
So they're literally trying to sneak a badge in past the fans who, I think the form is helping. To be honest, I think they're so annoyed that that badge doesn't mean anything because they've obviously got that nil status and is the optimum or something on the front. Literally nothing to Everton Football Club. There's someone high up who doesn't understand what those words mean, and it's brilliant.
Yeah. Is this a bit like when, like, the Daily Mail talks about asylum seekers when the government are like embezzling loads of money and that kind of stuff? It's like, whoa, too busy. So they're having managerial issues and they're just in the back door. They're just changing the branding, really.
Trying to change the branding.
Yeah.
Need to get rid of those words.
I feel like you'd take our really real problem being the Everton manager.
I'd be the same from my family, which is not great.
So what would make up for that?
Lots
of money.
Yes, $2,000. I want to be a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. In fact, a billionaire, and then I could help out everyone else as well.
But if you're a billionaire, you're not helping out other people.
That's kind of like
the government, and everyone in the government.
And every millionaire.
I don't know. I'd like to... They'd have to pay me so I'd never have to do anything again and I could have everything in the world.
They do that with their managers quite well.
Yeah, they do. But I'd specifically like to take them down and then them give me that money in the payout. How far would they let me take them is the question. I'd at least take them to the championship, lower championship, and then that's what I want to go down.
I would like to take them such that they cross hashtag United on the stairs.
I wouldn't mind Sunday League football and then them to never be a thing again. I'd like that as well.
Yeah. You might not even have to pay me to do that.
I was about to say, the offer might just be, by phone me and say, do you want to be Everton manager?
No, yeah. But I couldn't do that.
I would absolutely be the Everton manager tomorrow. My issue would be is that my plan would be to take them down and knowing somehow I'd end up keeping them up. Because I'd fuck up that badly that I'd be like, you go left back, and it turns out he's like the fucking greatest left back in the world. But I'd go manage them tomorrow. I went to the Boston kids thing the other day, and there was a guy who half recognised us from the shows. He was talking to me, and he was like, at least Everton are shit as well. Or something.
Sorry,
like that.
How did he half recognise you?
Because he went, you got that laugh on the Red Men TV, just didn't know my name.
Oh, right, Tom.
That's exactly how you half recognise somebody.
So that's it.
We get a lot of that, actually. I get a lot of polls.
Yeah,
get a lot of LFC TV, and I go, well, technically,
And anyway, he went, at least Everton are crap, and I was like, yeah. And he said to me, if we finish ninth or they get relegated, I'd be happy, I'll take that season. And I was like, all right, yes, I kind of understand it. I'm not that thrilled with being ninth myself, but there's a lot of Liverpool fans out there now who are taking a little bit of comfort in the fact that the Blues are crap as well, or well crapper. So I would just do it. The issue I've got is that I'd probably be better than the last five they've had.
There's also a template for how to ruin them. There, you just copy Rafa, wouldn't you?
Or Lampard, or Martinez, or Silva.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Aldice
Ferguson. No, Aldice was good. That's the bad thing. Yeah. He's the last one who done half well.
Yeah, but he ruined them in so much as you've done your break glass option there. You know what I mean?
They've just got to get him back.
You say that, but there's a big Sean Dyche button about to be pressed. I'd love it, I'd have to just wear a suit though, because you're right, I can't have an Everton logo on me, but if I could just get away with wearing a nice suit,
yeah,
a la Steven Gerrard. Very rarely saw Stevie G in like Villa gear. He wore a nice suit. Obviously he didn't want to be seen
apart from that, all the training versus the one where he's really awkwardly shaking Jamie Carragher's hand
on match days. If I can get away with just not wearing anything at Everton in a week,
not wearing anything.
Frank Lampard didn't wear anything much with Everton on, really, either. I think he was trying to disassociate with him.
Do you think that was why the beanie hat was like his one last? Oh, he gets us. He gets the hats. He's got a beanie hat with the badge on. What more do you need to get us?
Did you see that video of him with the fans in the hotel or something? I've never seen anyone look so scared.
To be fair, that shouldn't happen, though. They shouldn't have been. That shouldn't really happen. I think he was worried that.
We had a knife.
Yeah, or he was going to get properly stitched up.
He looked really scared.
And he probably was like a bit on edge, because he would be in that situation, because he could just lamp you at any point. And he probably deserved it.
Yeah.
I'm all for. The issue I've got now is that I wanted it to be like 2 weeks long, 2 or 3 weeks longer, because then they probably might have been cut adrift. There's still a chance they could hire a semi-good manager and who could keep them up, like Sean Dyche, I think, would keep them up. There's also a chance that they could completely fuck this up. I'm waiting with bated breath for them to do that.
Listen, we're going to talk more about Lampard and Everton in the podcast extra this week, because it's always good fun. To laugh at the misfortune of you.
Especially, we're rubbish, but you're rubbish, yes, so that's fine.
Yeah, definitely. I'm assuming you, I'd just take it. I'd have the job.
No.
I, I mean, I think we're really well recompensed.
Yeah, I know, but you've just said you'd take it for free. Therefore, you're not being paid.
No, I mean, I want a wage. I mean, what offer would need to be made for you? I mean, I want paying for the job, like the going rate of Everton managers, which is seemingly a lot. I wouldn't need to be incentivised to do it, other than the millions of pounds wages. As much as I love working here, if someone offered me a couple of million to go, I'd want
more than a couple of million.
That's the right attitude.
I'm cheap.
I think you'd have more. Weird to say this. I think you'd have more fun as Everton manager than if you're not a football manager, which we're not. I'd have more fun managing Everton than Liverpool because I can't lose. Because if I win, then you're having good fun and everyone adores you. And if you lose, it's Everton because of shit. The bar is so spectacularly low there. With Liverpool, you've got to come in and win the league and you've got to win the Champions League and you've got all this stuff. I mean, like, Jürgen Klopp is under pressure by sort of some buttes because we're having a tough season. Like, yeah, that would be unbearable. You'd be cast out forever. Like, people don't like... Like, Roy Hodgson was a bang average football manager. People fucking hate him. Because he wasn't good enough to be a Liverpool manager, whereas I could live being disliked.
Imagine the team you're picking at Derby. Like, 2 hours in goal. Fucking Andy Gray up front.
Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines down his guitar at left back. Yeah, I think he'd get on to me after the first Derby of the team I put out. Tom Davis would still be in the team, obviously. He'd be captain.
No, you don't need 11, lads. I think you can beat him at 9 today.
To be honest, I could just put the team they've got now out. People think it's a fix.
We're doing a very good job of drawing out the not talking about Liverpool nil, Chelsea nil chat. Guys, well done. I commend it. But unfortunately,
there's been fucking 5 shows on this. That's why I
haven't spoken to any of you about it.
No, nor I. I want to start actually with the FSG out protest.
Yeah, is that what we're still calling it?
I mean, I don't know. Oh, we've got to say it's the intonation, which implies that it was a gang of absolute meths on the internet. I say gang, I mean like a small handful of internet meths who made this sound like it was a thing.
We say handful, it got thousands of likes, so I'd like to know where you thousands of people were.
Well, I like things to remind me to look back at them and laugh. You know, in time, I remember having someone call me out from another Liverpool show, podcast, whatever, years ago, saying, why are you liking this post about us doing something or other, something negative? And I was like, oh, which is interesting. I generally use the likes so I can find stuff after the fact. Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough, if you want to protest, go ahead and protest. If you want to organise all that sort of thing, I find it baffling that you can organise a protest and then not turn up to your own protest. That's what, like, fair enough, if there's people against the owners and there's valid criticism of these owners, mm-hmm. and if people want to, if you're that strong about it, you be you, but you then can't not turn up to your own one, and then your argument has zero credibility. I wasn't even being facetious, I was on here and I wrote, can someone let me know how the protest gone, because I wanted to know for the show, and then I got loads of people going, ah, you're taking the piss, and I was like, no, I'm not. I was genuinely asking how did the protest go, because I was going to talk about it on here.
No, because I put it in the group. I said, someone tell me where it's meant to be from, what time, because my understanding was the cop bar, which I when you say the cop bar, and you thought the same, was
the bar
in the cop, which is called the cop bar. But David Lynch put a photo of the one that's called Cop End.
It's got Kenny Dalglish's face.
That's the one that I told Chris, because me and Chris were going to go and Stanley. And Chris went, it's not that one, let's walk on.
But to the point, I wanted
wasn't
to know.
That one, there was a clue.
The Cop End?
It definitely wasn't.
Well,
it was nothing, because it was imaginary.
They took guerrilla warfare really seriously.
Yeah, blended in.
Yeah, camouflaged.
Yeah. Maybe they went as,
the biggest problem that they've got? They haven't got a face.
Yeah.
There is not one of those people.
Or a pew between them.
Yeah, well, agreed. But, like, there's literally no one there that they can rally around because there's no one there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one who puts their face out or anything, is there? From what I've seen, you know, the usual suspects of the Twitter accounts that we all know, they don't have faces on them. They don't speak out. To be fair, to what's the guy's name? Is it Hassan or something like that? I don't know. I think it's Hassan. I think he's got a YouTube channel. To be fair to him, he speaks and you can see his face. So whatever you think about his opinions, and I don't really know what his opinions are, but I've seen clips of him. At least he's there talking about it with his real face.
Yeah.
So fair fucks to him. whereas all the others are just Twitter accounts with pictures of Klopp, or even worse, their Twitter art is like a mixture of Coutinho and Klopp.
Yeah.
Like, one of the fellas who absolutely tried to rinse us and Klopp. Like, yeah. And this is the thing where it's like, you can't stand for something if you're not showing your face.
That's the biggest thing.
Should we just do this as agony rant? Can we have, yeah, the title? Yeah. Let's just do this as agony rant. There we go.
Like, I saw Jay McKenna on Twitter having a go at the organisation. Like, using our banners from last time, good luck with it. And he even said, like, good luck with the sign, use for your boots, but you shouldn't be using, like, you're using a different cause, using banners from the Hicks and Gillette things, which was about the football club compared to the... I think there is a difference between protesting about the owners in terms of how they run the club and protesting because they don't have transfers. I don't think anyone's really going to ever do the second. I might be wrong, and we might get to a point one day where we do that, because I think the fact that we've been there, it was so shit. That, like, everyone goes on about it. It was so, like, being in them protests and being on, it was horrendous. I hated it.
It was
not fun.
We were there because we were there for a lot of those protests. That was pretty much when we started. And I remember being at them outside the Black Shirt protests, yeah, which was Help Save LFC, who were like a parallel group to Spirit of Shankly. And, you know, you'd be stood outside and everyone got together and they'd be chanting and all that. And there'd be people like kicking off back at them, saying, what are you doing? You know, we've got to get behind the team. And it's like, when it gets that bad, you know, some people have got to step up. It's like striking. You know what I mean? I know it's a hot topic at the moment, but some people have got to make themselves, have got to run the risk of making themselves the bad guys in the eyes of, like, the, you know, your casual observer, in order to try and make things happen. And that's what it was all about. And you're right, that's what it comes back to is. And that's why I said I wanted to find out, because I promised, I've had conversations with people. You know, I don't really engage on Twitter anymore, but a few months ago I got into it with people and said, if things happen, I'll cover them. I will, because if the real things and real Liverpool fans are getting together to do it, then sound. But it's not that there isn't that sentiment, and not that it doesn't exist amongst Liverpool fans. It just doesn't exist anywhere near as much as you would believe it does if you were just to gauge the temperature from, you dip your toe in on social media, you feel like it was a huge thing. And my honest take from it is that it's not, because you can't hide that. You can't hide that feeling in real life. It spills out.
Even if you don't sit with your mates at the game, you speak to people during the game next to you, and, you know, quite often it's the same people over and over, and not one person over the course of the last 18 months has ever mentioned FSG and out in the ground to me. Whereas back then, in 2010, you get into the ground, it's all anyone's talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't a nice situation to be in at all. Like, it made going the match much harder, didn't it? And it doesn't feel like that now. It's hard now, and the atmosphere was terrible at the weekend, by the way. And
it's been terrible for a while.
Yeah, it hasn't. But, like, the cold weather, coupled with the early kickoff, coupled with the fucking malaise of Liverpool being shit, did not help the atmosphere this weekend.
Yeah.
But going back to the FSG out stuff, it just doesn't exist in real life. It doesn't exist in the ground. And the thing that pisses me off more than anything, is what they don't realise, these protesters online don't realise, is they need the people in the ground.
Yes.
And the way that they're calling us top reds is actually disassociating us from them.
Yeah.
They can't have a protest without having us on side, and they're never going to get us on side if they abuse us.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking me, I'm talking match going reds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't ask, you need us, you need thousands of us there, but you're calling us knobheads.
Yeah.
So we're never going to join your side.
Well, that's the thing.
You've gone about it completely the wrong way.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that, and you're dead right on that, and it's become this idea of, and this is what happens with, like, when you get entrenched in a view and you become, what's the word, sort of radicalised on something that, you know, can happen online, is where you're bombarded with something to the point that it seeps in and actually becomes a really core opinion to you without you realising that it's happened. But rather than look at it and go, well, hang on, why aren't these people kicking off, and why are they've started, it's created this division where all of a sudden, like, there must be something wrong with people who go the match, and there's something wrong with people from Liverpool, like, they're somehow blinded to it, and I'm above this and I'm away from this, so therefore, and you find ways to rationalise your, but instead of going, oh, I think I've got this wrong here, you double down, but you find fault with everyone else. I know, you know, I would say that everyone, when you think that everyone's crazy apart from you, it's not. It's you that's crazy. And that's the real tough thing about it, because you're right, because it's polarizing. And ultimately, it's not, because the narcissistic echo chamber of social media amplifies things. You're in a little bubble and it starts to filter out. And mostly I'm seeing like lots of sensible people, the remaining sensible people on social media going, shut the fuck up or what this is about, and then getting piled on by a bunch of random faceless accounts. And what happens is all the good and sensible people just bin it off and stop arguing back, because it's not worth the time.
How are you going to get people to get into an FSG out thing when they've all muted it?
Yeah.
Because they've just been bombarded.
Yeah.
Awesome. Saku comes in, obviously, they've got the Born and Red show, and I went on it last week, and it was like, any questions for Steve, put them in the stream out, is Steve FSG in or FSG out? It was like the first question I got asked. And I was like, there isn't a person alive who is FSG in. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
There's no fucking Twitter AVIs for that. I mean, no one's bothered that arse to make that, because it doesn't fucking...
There wouldn't be a single person who's that arse who owns Liverpool if they sell. And I think we'd all agree, we all want them to spend a bit more money on transfers, and we would like the team to be better than it is now.
I am asked about who owns Liverpool, but not... in the way that you're
I've said this before as well. There's no good billionaires. They're all cunts. And we're after like the least cunty of the cunty. I get it completely. But the point was, like, there's a sentiment. I get it online. I go on Twitter a bit too much, and it's something. Unfortunately, I'm starting to eat, like, a bit like you. I've had enough of it a little bit. But like, just because you're not adamantly in this camp over here doesn't mean you are on the battlefield at the other end. There's no one who goes the match. If John Holmes said we're selling, there wouldn't be a protest because he's selling. There just wouldn't. There might be. It depends who he sells it to. If he sells it to like the next Roman Abramovich, a Russian ogre, then there might be a protest. You know what I mean? Like, there might be. But that's the thing. Not everyone's in this staunch camp. There doesn't always have to be a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just a bit pissed off that we haven't spent a bit of money and. Oh, like, spend some more money then, please. And also, the final thing, I'm going on a little bit, is the club's for sale. It's literally for sale. Like, you've got
what
you've...
That's what they're asking for.
You're getting what you want. Now, it might not be going as fast as you want it to go, or you think it's a PR stunt, or maybe they're only after a minority share, blah, blah, blah. The club is on the market. If someone wants to come and buy Liverpool, the opportunity is there. It isn't like there's Qataris and Saudis and Americans and Germans and Swedes or whoever knocking on FSG's door and they're getting beaten away with a stick. The door is open for people to come in through.
It's patience that's needed on their side, not a protest.
It's we're getting there.
Well, that's what it boils down to. That's the thing where it comes down to, is like, because we get questions all the time. We asked for a kickoff question for this. We had one from a guy called Jordan W2000. Why don't you call out the owners when they're clearly the problem and it will only get worse? And it's like, because we've hinged everything on transfers, and again it boils down to I struggle with it, because that's the point. I remember Hicks and Gillette when it was fucked. It was fucked completely and utterly. They had no idea how to run a football club. The people who they put in place were fucking useless at it. Their owner's son was telling people to blow me fuckface in emails and all this kind of stuff. They were taking the piss out of us. They were saddling debt. They'd saddled loads of debt on the club, and it was undercutting what Liverpool were doing. And people think that's a similar thing, and it's not, because we're sat here having won every trophy you can win in the last 4 years. And we're sat here now in the midst of a bad season. And again, I'm not against this idea that we should have invested a bit more in the playing squad. But it's not like they've invested nothing. This is not Newcastle under Mike Ashley.
Yeah.
This is not, again, where Hicks and Gillette spent a bit in the summer after the Champions League final in 2007. They bought Torres, they bought Babel, they bought Lucas in. And that was their big hit in terms of spends. We've just come off the back of... spent 50 million on Luis Diaz this time a year ago. We then added Carvalho, we added Darwin Nunez. And on the back of adding Canate, we've spent like 250 million since we won the title.
Yeah. And the problem is we haven't invested it wisely, and that's not FSG's problem in terms of where the squad makeup is. If we'd have spent that 250 million maybe and just bought one or two forwards instead of three forwards and bought a midfielder, people would be in a lot better situation.
But it becomes an argument of, well, they've not spent enough money, and I'm just of the, it was the way I was raised or whatever. It's like, there's just things to get up in arms about, and maybe it's me being a bit soft or whatever, I don't know. But I just, the margins for what we're complaining about are not like man the barricade and set fire to the ground kind of things for me. And that's the difference, is that might reach a point. And you know, and there's people that honestly, and you'll see it, if Liverpool get sold to people who've got horrendous morals or whatever, and you know, I don't even, that doesn't matter where, again, people will read between the lines. There's no need to read between the lines. It could be from anywhere on the planet. You will see what that looks like, because that will engage people and people will go. We saw it when they were trying to go for the Super League, mm-hmm. and people protested. You know, when we were allowed to leave,
we walked out of the ground,
fucking,
and got beat by Sunderland. Or Drew was on and off because of it.
Yeah.
We are not scared of protesting this
city.
They
tried to trademark the word Liverpool. It's our city.
Yeah.
You're not doing that.
Yeah.
They also tried to put people on furlough when they're a multi-billion-dollar company. We fumed about that. The thing about FSG is...
But we didn't just fume. People did stuff, people did stuff about it. Actively,
and obviously, it got reversed. Yeah. Each thing that they've majorly done wrong, they've always had to reverse it. Why? Because of the outrage from... And a lot of other fans around the world, but also matchday-going fans. We feel like we get phased out more than anyone else does, matchday-going fans, because we're not what they want to build their company. We go and we'll use the bars and stuff, but we're not going to go each game and buy loads of memorabilia or go to the club shop every game. That's not us. Every season, because we go there, we'll just go the game, maybe buy a drink on the concourse and go home. That's all we do. So it kind of feels like matchday going fans who really want to go. And you can see this with the ticket situation as well, where you can't just give it to someone who wants to go and take the lad, mm-hmm. and who wants to, you know, be at the game and for other reasons can't be there every single game. But it's also a case of, I think FSG, look, I'd love them to spend more money. We need to buy midfielders. That everyone knows, but also if they're now putting us up for sale, if they go and spend all this money, it's not going to be cut off the price or anything that they're going to get. And there's also a case of there's been much, much worse owners, and we've been through it. There's probably been better owners somewhere else along the line in other different football clubs.
You know what's encouraging for me though is Arsenal are probably going to win the league this season. And it's really annoying.
Yep.
But at the same time, Arsenal are not a mega-funded club. They're not a club.
They've spent a bit.
But they've spent the same way.
Well.
We spent, yeah, exactly.
Spent well.
And we did the same. But they've built over a number of years. They've come up. They've done it the right way. They're a massive club who can generate more revenue. They've done that. And they've trusted in a manager and they've trusted in a process. They didn't copy Manchester City. They might have copied it in terms of maybe a bit of playing style, because that's Arteta on learning under Guardiola. But they've done it in like the right way.
Signing young players,
and that's just where we're just on the chain, and they might not get it back round again, and if they don't, there'll be wholesale changes. But it's one of them. It happens. I'm encouraged by Arsenal doing. I'm encouraged the fact that City are struggling. You know, there was a point made. It was an ESPN article, wasn't it? You see it doing the rounds of like basically all the clubs that have played the most games in the last 18 months are fucked this year. Us and City, I know it seems weird to say that when they're second in the league.
But they're not them.
They're not. And, you know, West Ham, Leicester,
Chelsea. 90-odd games Chelsea, in the year.
Exactly.
20-odd more than Arsenal, I think it was.
The only reason Manchester City are where they are is Erling Haaland. And the thing is, they went out and they did that and they secured that. And that's, okay, and then maybe that comes back to the point that they've got slightly deeper pockets, but they haven't really. They're just prepared to bend the rules more than most. And everyone knows that. And that's not an attainable thing, that, you know what I mean? Or it's certainly not something to be admired. Well, not in my eyes anyway. But Liverpool also tried to do that. Liverpool couldn't get Erling Haaland, so they went out and got someone else who could be a guy who could hopefully inject some life and some energy into the attack. In fact, they bought two guys. They bought Diaz and they bought Darwin Nunez. And Diaz got injured and Nunez just hasn't quite clicked into gear just yet. But you look at like who scored for Man City, it's like, in the Premier League, it's like Erling Haaland, 25 goals. And then there's one guy on seven, and then there's like a five, I think Foden's got seven, and then there's like fives and fours. Their numbers look exactly the same as ours, except they've just got a Haaland on top of it. They're struggling with it. We're having different levels of struggles. We'll come back around again. The sale thing confuses the whole thing.
I also think, and you guys, this is my opinion, so you correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure we'd ever protest on-field stuff. No. As in, who the man. We didn't really protest Roy Hodgson.
No.
He sang a little bit of Hodgson for England in the ground. I feel like
how we behave.
I think the protest, and again, this is again, there are people, and you are entitled to come to Liverpool if you don't live here, and if you live here, you're entitled. Go to the ground and buy a flag and organise a protest. Yeah. Fill your boots if that's what you want to do.
But also, don't be surprised when someone walks over, tells you to fucking whine and fuck off, because again, Liverpool's fan base is self-police, and I've told people off in the ground for being bellends. You know, we had it with the homophobic chant, and God knows we fucking know it, and we've been at the coalface of that for a decade. You know, we've learned about it. Everyone needs to be educated about it. I've turned around and told people to shut up when they've sang stuff. I've seen it where I've seen kids trying to do Munich chants or coach greetings, and our Scouse fellas turning around and telling them to fucking shut the fuck up, because. And this is about education, it's about buying into the culture. And this is why being from Liverpool's got nothing to do with it. It's people who go, I really like this football club, how do I learn more about it? How do I become more integrated into it? We'll take it from the people who've had five generations in their family raise them how to be a Liverpool supporter. Learn from those people. I still learn more about Liverpool from my dad than I learn from anyone else. And if you haven't got that, then you've got to find a way to jumpstart that. But I think some people do. They're a bit removed from it, and maybe they're just a bit too. I don't know. You know, into their own takes on it to buy in.
There is times when you're in the ground. And it's something my dad taught me is, you know, you're always clap them. If they shoot and they miss, there's a reaction, oh, fuck's sake, or something like that. That's fine. But then you go, catch yourself and you fucking support them and you clap. Yep. And if there's anyone ever near me who's not like that, I make sure I do it fucking really loud.
Yeah, so clap
really,
for them.
Right in the fucking ear. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? That's how you're supposed to do it. That's how you support the side.
You'll never walk alone and you're at the end of it because you're doing. This is where I think it gets a bit confused is that, if you want to go and protest, you have to do it. But I think, go back to the argument, you've got to turn up to your own protests. Just job one. It's like the nurses saying, oh, we're going to go and strike, and then no nurses go and strike. Well, you're not striking, then, are you?
Yeah.
You've put something forward and no one backed you on it. So you've got to turn up. And second of all, like I say, the division that we're causing, it is causing, and again, Twitter's not real, so you've got to be careful. But it can be shit.
I'm seeing good people having their heads bent by it, you know what I mean, and being like, and again, it's like radicalisation. It's because if that's your exposure to Liverpool culture, it's like an open nuclear reactor. Social media, I'm doubly so when Liverpool are crap, and triply so when it's in a transfer window. When, let's be honest, Liverpool don't historically go fucking mega in transfer windows, but you're bombarded with it constantly. And it, you know, maybe you're in what? And I've said this before, and this is the slight difference from people outside the city. If you're from London, your WhatsApp group are filled with your mates, and they're all United fans, and they're Arsenal fans, and the Chelsea fans. And in any WhatsApp group, there's always the butt of the joke at any given moment. Doubly so again when it's a football related one, because you can't even retort, because your team is your ammunition, and if your team's crap, then there's a big pile on you, and so that becomes even harder to kind of deal with. I'm totally appreciative of that, and that's something we don't really experience in that way, so I can't truly put myself in
the last
shoes.
Time we experienced that in a WhatsApp, you just left.
Yeah, probably.
It's that man Dave.
Yeah,
he tried to do something after we'd left, and you just went nope, left the group, and that was that. Yeah. Like, so Paul can't deal with it. I'm still in the group. Yeah. he's never said anything else.
Yeah. Nope, that's not the place, not the time. But that's the thing. I get that it feels on top, but I'm worried about that.
I agree. And the divisions that are causing, because also there are people who are opportunistic, and there are people who.
There's some non-Liverpool fans who want to jump into it.
Oh, but also I think
stoke the fires.
I've got to be careful like how I say this, because I don't want to insult people, but like there are, you know, if you say certain things on the internet, you're going to get reactions for it, and I do think there are people who might not believe what they're saying, who do this because it's, well, if Liverpool are shit and we can't get I can't get attention on ourselves by talking about the footy, then we need to talk about something else, and I do believe there are people.
Can
who
I
do
give
that.
You a good example of that? It's that lad who does the mad songs, like Love of Spirit. I don't, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I, you know, and there's people who do it's a bit crap, in all honesty, but it bangs and it gets major numbers. And if you're doing something, it's getting major numbers.
Fill your boots.
You're succeeding, aren't you? And that's, you're right, I think there is. And I think there are other YouTube channels and there are other podcasts who have made this their almost personality because they see that's how you get. There's obviously a thirst for it, because there is like sitting here and having a whinge is loads more interesting than sitting here and going, it's good, isn't it? You know what I mean? You get it's like having a good like gab about someone or something.
Misery loves company a little bit.
I love the city. I love the morals of the city, and I feel like that's reflected in LFC, in Jurgen Klopp. I love the culture of going to a match day, and you've got, you know, fans from all over the world who support us and really support us, and they'll bring a scarf and they'll go to the game, and it helps us out because it gets us more revenue as well. But I love how they come. It's like when a kid goes and they get to experience that moment of walking onto the concourse, walking up to the stadium and realising, wow, this is so different to what I could ever have imagined it. And that's what I think. I think people who can't go the game, and we are extremely fortunate people to ever be able to go the game. We're fortunate to do this as our job. But those people, because they don't have, like, all of our mates support Liverpool, or if they don't, they support Everton, you can have banter with them. Over there, there's people who can support any team, or even a local team, so they don't really have that. So they go on Twitter to go and speak to other people and make friends. But the thing is, Twitter is toxic. Twitter has two different sides, and if you get caught into the one side, they can make you think that, and you can get pulled into that. And when you go the actual game, you realise how different it is. And that's fine. Look, if you have...
And then, there's no one take that personally, like using that as an insult, people who don't go.
I'll give you an example the other way around. Everyone knows here, I might have said this before, I'm a Vikings fan on here, yeah. I would never in a million years, although I follow loads of Vikings accounts on Twitter, never in a million years try and organise a protest over in Minnesota. For something about, you know, or I would never even get into an argument and pretend like that what I see from here is anything like what they see over there. And now that doesn't mean that they've got a right opinion and I've got a wrong opinion, yeah. But I won't presume to tell someone who actually actively helps the team that they're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. Because as a supporter in the ground, you do actively help the side. Yeah. All of the big games that have ever been at Anfield that we talk about, and the crowd and everything else that probably people from abroad latched onto, we're a part of that, whether they like it or they don't. And you can't be on Twitter because you sit in Ireland or whatever, tweeting 700 times a day about FSG. You're just not the same. We're not the same people. And it's down to location, it is. And it's down to finances, and it's down to the ability to have tickets, and it's getting harder and harder to get those tickets, I understand that. But never presume that you can be the same.
And also, Chris, I think it's fair to say, we have the Discord chat on, we've read Redmen Plus Club Legends, and there are good guys and girls in that chat who don't like FSG, but they have an amicable conversation about it. There are a couple of ones who are knobheads, and they soon got booted out because we have the no knobheads policy. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, is that where you can have different opinions, be respectful about it. You know, I've got people in my family, got honestly, like the whole Brexit thing, when there were people who voted, I was dead against it, they were dead for it. Didn't agree with them politically, didn't agree with everything they said, I thought was bullshit, and I thought I was giving them the whole, you've been brainwashed, and they're giving me the same thing. But you can be respectful. Like, the abuse that people get, or like, you don't agree with me, so you've obviously got a hidden agenda. No, I just don't agree with you. I just don't agree with you. It doesn't mean like I'm doing it because Paul and Chris have messaged me. I got a DM the other day. Did Paul and Chris not let you speak up? Are you being fed lines? I was like, I'm being fed pies. I think that's why my belly's a bit big. But I'm not being fucking fed lines. I can say what I want and I'll do what I want.
Not even feeding them pies.
Oh, no.
Okay, then your wage just pays for the pies that I feed myself. But like, that's the thing, is that it gets that, and I think that it makes it worse. Chris goes back to before. How can you possibly expect to get people on side when you're in their face just going, you're not bad. This, we've learned this in elections. And I think one of the reasons that Brexit happened was because people who were adamant against it were going like, you're dumb, or you're a racist, or and it was, then you were just name calling people, and they're like, well, fuck you then. It makes it worse.
Sorry, just one more thing, because I was talking about before. This is not to say that fans from abroad don't matter. They fucking matter.
They're the best. That's what makes us global.
Yeah,
I love absolutely. It, mate. I love doing the watch-on, just saying, where are you? And it's like, it's 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. Yeah. And I'm in Mumbai. Or like the other day, because the late kick-off times, it was the next day. There was a guy in Australia, and it was like Sunday morning. It was when we played Wolves on the Saturday night. I was like, oh yeah, I just got up. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's what makes big clubs big.
And
clubs.
I love it. I think it's brilliant. But then on the flip side is if that fella in, like the guy who's in Australia, they said, right, I'm organising a protest. Like, well, you better be fucking flying in for it.
And here's what I was going to go to. When you think about it, when you think about those tweets and stuff, you get 1,000 likes, right? Well, I'm telling you that 50,000 people in the ground disagree.
Yeah.
And I don't need a Twitter like button to tell me that because I can see it each and every week.
So
you talk about, and this is something that they do, is the ratios and the retweets and stuff. It's actually nothing because none of those tweets have ever had 50,000 retweets. Mm-hmm. And there's 50,000 people in the ground every single week that disagree with you. But there's no fucking button that says we all disagree. It's just, we show it.
It's hashtags and fucking plain banners. It's passive aggressive fucking feeling like you're adopting a cause. It's like I've got a member of my family who always changes their header Twitter profile or their Facebook to whatever the cause in the moment is. So they'll have a Ukrainian flag on, and or they'll be changing to the blackout thing when everyone was like for Black Lives Matter and all these things. These are nice gestures, and it's like retweeting something, making you feel like you're somehow taking an active part. You're not. You know, when you trust me, people will know when you're truly passionate about something. You'll fucking know. You'll know it because you will find yourself in a car or in a plane or a bike or walking randomly to get to somewhere because you'll have no choice. When you find your cause, you'll bloody know about it. I tell you what, and that's what happens. It happens. It's like. Major causes actually don't get organised. They're spontaneous. They happen when they need to happen. People are drawn towards the spot, and it's hard to explain that sometimes. I know you might feel in your heart of hearts like you've spotted something here, and this needs to happen. But sometimes you've got to kind of read the room. And unfortunately, Twitter is not the room. You know, you've got to find other ways of looking.
The problem is that it kind of is. It kind of is for a lot of people.
You're in the wrong room, is what I'm saying. You shouldn't be using Twitter to read the room, because Twitter is not the room.
That's the point, is that I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I'm literally wearing the jacket here right now, and I'm saying this case. Like, I get all my interaction with other Green Bay Packers fans online, so that can happen. And we're shit. They've been shit this year, and there's a lot of people saying the shit. But that's the only interaction you get. But what you've got to then notice that it's not indicative of a fan base, because there are 50,000 people who go to Anfield. There are, what is it, 30 million Liverpool fans worldwide. They're not all on Twitter, because I could name 20 of them right now who just don't do it. And including some of them are our good mates who just like be arsed with that. Mm-hmm. It's shit. So you can't, just because it's online doesn't mean it's representative of everybody. But I do understand the fact that if you are based in, like for example, we've got a Liverpool fan in Australia, Sydney, who lives with no other, none of his mates follow footy or whatever, then the only way he's going to interact is by watching us, or listening to us, or listening to the rap, or any other of these places who make brilliant content. I get it. So, but you've got to then be wary of is that, like, we've said this plenty of times, we are not the voice of Liverpool Football Club. We are the voice of, I'm Steve, and you're Chloe, and you're Chris, and you're Paul. And I think what happens is, like, nobody can speak for the fans, because the fans are individual people. And if I want to go...
You're not the Borg, basically.
Yeah. It's a Star Trek reference, Dave.
I don't really get that, but if I wanted to, I could go to Anfield and I could protest tomorrow outside the ground, and I could, and it's up to me, and I said I could do it. I would do it for certain topics. There are certain things that have, and in fact, we've done it. The Super League stuff, there was a protest.
When it looked like, on the Hicks and Gillette again, where the rumours were they were going to sack Rafa, we were in the middle of a Champions League group stage, and there was a spontaneous march on Anfield. This is like... Probably even that would have been the very early days of Twitter, possibly not even
before I even had a Twitter account.
Yeah, and people took, like, thousands of people marched round Anfield. They got the big gilded gold photo frame of Rafa, and we marched in support of Rafa Benitez. And I was at home, I didn't have a ticket for the game that day, I didn't have a season ticket back then, and I didn't even have a car, I had to borrow my dad's car. I borrowed my mum's car because my dad was at the game, and he went, and I drove to Anfield, protested, and then drove back. And that's like, we were living in Colleys at the time, so that's like half an hour odd drive to the ground and back. So more an hour round trip to get to there, more with the traffic to get there and blah, blah, blah. Just so, because I needed to physically show my support for that. And again, you'll see it. And I know it's hard. You feel it because social media is a construct. It makes you feel like what you're doing is more real than it is. Like it has a real impact and stuff. But... And all I'll say is that's my big worry about this. I feel sorry for the good people, for the really good people who do need that as their interactions, and they are, without even realising it, being fucking poisoned. It's like when you find out, like, 6 months later, there's been a leak in the nuclear reactor that's down the road, and your whole family have got have been poisoned without you even knowing that it was nothing to do with you. You were just living your life, and you've just under the undercurrents have just have tainted you. And there are good people with good opinions, educated people, who have got a really strong opinion about FSG, but they are being misled into feeling like they are part of a movement, and they are not. There is, again, it is honestly, because you see the same names over and over again, and they're all the people who are horrible to people online.
That's the point that
and
gets me.
They are predominantly dickheads. And sometimes, and again, go back to your Brexit point, and that was my point on Brexit was always, look who you're in the fight with. Find out if you've got a strong opinion on something, who else shares that opinion, and look at the character of the people who share that opinion with you. And when I looked at Brexit, I looked at all the people who were on side for Leave, and it was all Nigel Farage and those kind of guys. I was like, that was enough for me to make a strong opinion, and that's what I'd say on the FSGLs. And goes back to your point, there just seems to be the people who do put the faces to it, and I'm aware of that lad, but I've never watched any of his stuff. But I know I've seen a couple of people, and they're all very angry, very miserable, down on the players.
The one thing they all share is it's defamation of character. That's how they attack other people. And actually, that's not what you should be doing.
And this is my point, is that, like, there are valid criticisms about this owner, and I think it's a perfectly valid point to say, I think they should sell. I'm in that category. I think FSG should sell. I do. But what's annoying is, I am not going to go around saying FSG out there because...
It's for sales, though.
No, but also, it's a bit like you. You end up on side of people who are nasty. Like, yeah. Be nice to people. Like, I can say to you... You just can't. I think they should sell. I think they're trying to, and also they are trying to sell. But that's what kind of.
I do. Sorry, Steve, just to cancel that. I must admit, I've been horrible to some people. I don't mean like personally, individually targeted people, because they're all a faceless mess. They've all got the same. I can't pick one out from the other because they've all got these mad Twitter accounts with no face. I don't really know who any of these people are. They might be bots. They might be people who don't support Liverpool. There's literally no way of knowing. So it's more of a broad like exasperation with some of the mad. Shit that comes out is what annoys me. So when I speak in broad terms about people, I'm sorry if I catch good people in that. But again, sometimes you've got to, and it becomes a bit of a binary thing. The problem is, you're right, is that I don't care enough about Liverpool's owners to go to bat for them in a super strong way. I only go for it in a broad sense of, I just look at how good Liverpool have been. That's enough for me. But that's not, there's no counter tweet. There's no like. There's no equal and opposite
you're
reaction.
You're only saying
to
that, mate, for the access.
Well, this is
for the access. But that's the point.
Yeah. This is exactly it, and it goes back to the thing at the beginning that I said, where it's like, if you want the people on side, stop calling us dickheads, stop calling us top reds, stop making lies up, slander about us taking money off an owner that we have no dealings with. Whatsoever, and it's not just us, it's the Anfield Rap and anybody that's ever met anybody.
Every Liverpool journalist.
So what you are doing is you're calling us all knobheads, and you think that we're going to jump on your side of the wagon. It ain't going to happen, mate, because you call me a knobhead, and I'm more likely to punch you than fucking join your side, you know what I mean? And that's not something I do, but like, you know, since when has anyone gone, you're a fucking knobhead, you're a fucking knobhead, you're a fucking knobhead, you're a fucking knobhead, you take money off them, your fucking missus is ugly, fucking this, fucking that, can you join me? No. No, I'm sorry for looking at you.
You say that right,
the whole way through that.
Year 4 Steve Hoare, that was my flirting technique. Pull the girl's hair, I fucking hate you.
Yeah. But it's also a case of, you can see the difference between Twitter and in the ground, because of how much slander the players get. Someone's had a bad game, yeah. Say you've been pretty crap.
But you're allowed to have an opinion. You then go to the pub and you whinge and you moan about all these things, but you leave it there. You don't go, you go around the player's house and knock on his door and go, yeah, mate, you were shite, because generally you calm down. But of course, tweets live there forever. We've been saying this for years. No one ever goes back when they've calmed down and deletes their angry reactions to stuff. You don't, because who gives a shit? Because in your head, it's gone. But actually, you don't know how your stuff permeates other people's timelines and feeds. And now we're in a world where there's loads of banter accounts who are desperate. I did the Beth Victor show this week, and it was like somebody were commenting on a tweet, and the tweet was, the hell of FSG is nearly over. And it's like, oh God, stop trying to, you know, we're all guilty of it. Oh, Arsenal fans say this, United fans say this. No, some beaut who's been retweeted because it's dead funny seeing angry reactions is actually being held up as somehow like the voice of an entire fan base.
0-0 against Chelsea then?
Oh, no, honestly, anything, I'd rather do this than talk about that. On the point, actually, Scott Hawks, our good friend, sent in a super chat and actually illustrates your point perfectly. Just wanted to wish all well before I pass out. Hopefully the Chelsea game is the diehard of recoveries in that it felt like walking barefoot across broken glass, but everything will work out okay in the end. Yeah, let's certainly hope so on that. Just very quickly, Chloe, on the Chelsea game.
Next topic.
Yeah, look, we demanded that we make Liverpool make themselves harder to beat. And if that's what they're doing, then we've kind of got to buy into that. You know, it's a week of clean sheets. It's a week where we've tried to play attacking football, and we've had teams walk through us all season long. They're at least quite clearly trying something a little bit different. It's going to be a harder watch, I think.
We're fucking bored.
Yeah. But honestly, I'm more bored of seeing Liverpool lose games than I am of, I can deal with being bored watching us play as long as we're not fucking losing games.
I mean, yeah, we looked a little bit better, but at the same time, I think Chelsea had several really good chances. It still didn't look like a back four that I thought had a lot of confidence in them. I know you think a little bit differently because I think I saw you put a tweet out, but I didn't think defensively we were brilliant. I thought we were all right. We were better than in recent games, but at the same time, that Brighton side is a much better side than that Chelsea side is at this moment in time. I mean, that Mudryk came on and could have scored three goals if he actually would have had his finishing boots on. And what did he come on in the 75th minute? It's small little steps that I can take, and I'm going to take every positivity part I can because I feel dead inside watching Liverpool Football Club. So I'll take that. It's a clean sheet. And hopefully next week we've got the problem. We've found the balance of, okay, keeping it tight at the back, but also having some more attack and threat, because that was, oh my God, we couldn't make a ball stick. Yeah, there was absolutely nothing up top. But like you said, a 0-0 against Chelsea. At home, you wouldn't really want to. You always want to win at home, but if you would have said, you know, at least you don't lose this game and they move even further away from you, then yeah, sure.
I think we were saying something's got to change here because we can't just keep doing this. I think I said definition of insanity is doing the same thing.
It's not. I did check it.
It might not be.
It's definitely not the definition of insanity.
Well,
close enough.
You're a liar. Whoever said that then? And I've heard on the internet, so it must be true. We asked them to change. The problem we've got at the minute is they're not good enough to be good at both.
Yeah.
We have to find that out. I actually disagree with Chloe. I thought we did defend pretty well, other than set plays, which was a shambles. I think for the most part, you're always going to give away a couple. We've been in games where Alisson's been making double-digit saves. We didn't see him. We saw him one off a set piece.
My also point to that is Chelsea are crap. Look at their front, look at the entire team.
Wolves are crap. But the Wolves game in the FA Cup at Anfield compared to the Wolves game at Molineux with similar-ish teams for them, but Liverpool changed. Kelleher didn't have to make a save. So I think they are trying to be more solid.
The last two games we haven't been walked through. Walked through the middle of the
team. You're always going to give chance. Even when Liverpool won the league, there was one chance a game where Alisson was one-on-one and had to make, because that's going to happen. I think adding by Chetigin has made a big difference because he tackles people, which it doesn't half help when you do that. So I think the goalie isn't under siege. The centre halves aren't under siege. If you say to Mudryk, he's going to be James Miller sometimes, or he's a good player and good players can do that. But it wasn't like Alisson was jump. I referenced Brighton. He was caked in mud. It was pissing down. He'd give a pen. His head had gone because it was just save after save after shot. We wasn't that. The difference is Liverpool sides of the past have been that, where he's had to make one or two saves, but we've offered a threat. And at the moment, we haven't got that.
We just haven't got the goals in us. And we haven't actually had the goals in us all season. You know, again, it's evidenced by Salah's having a bad season. But again, he was, and then he had a really great run of goal scoring form, and then that's kind of dipped off again. you know, Cody Gakpo, he's getting loads of stick. He's a new Liverpool player. He's, you know, he's playing forward for us. You know, he had a couple of half opportunities, which again I thought his positioning were good for, or you know, his movements, his ability to. The second one was a really weak one, but it's good movement to get in the right position. But that's not, you know, it's not Bobby Firmino, or it's not, you know, in previous lifetime Sadio Mane or whatever. Harvey Elliott playing out of position effectively on the left hand side, and that we haven't got the firepower at the moment. So, yeah.
My thoughts on it is I'm probably somewhere in between you both, because I don't think Liverpool did defend pretty well. I don't think just dropping numbers back in is defending well, to be perfectly honest.
No, I don't think it's defending well. I think it's stopping the flow as well.
Of course it is. We're not bringing our fullbacks into the attack.
No.
Which means that we are just dropping more numbers in. We definitely didn't press them. We decided to go low block at times, or mid block for most of the game, rather than a high press, which is us changing something, and it worked because we didn't concede. But that doesn't, I don't think that solves the problem of how we're going to get better attacking.
No, mate,
and that's the point, is that's absolutely fine, but we need to work out how to do that and attack at the same point. Because right now, it doesn't look like we know.
I feel like it's like there's been a leak in a pipe, and we haven't changed the pipe yet, but we've at least put our thumb on the hole. We put a plaster on it, and it's not the ideal situation, but we couldn't let the water kind of.
Well, it's more that we've replaced it. I think we're in the process of replacing the pipe, but the tap's fucked as well.
Yeah.
But you've got to replace the pipe before you replace the tap. There's no point in changing it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And there's a little bit to which, at some point in the next few weeks, Jota's going to come back, and Firmino will hopefully come back, and Nunes will be fit again, and we'll have that little bit more firepower, and you add really good attacking players on top of hopefully being a bit more resolute, and that solves a few of the problems.
It does.
But in the moment, right now, we haven't got the goals, and we're conceding loads, and we haven't got the players to score goals.
Solve one problem exactly. At a time.
And also, even if everyone was fit and firing, I'm not still quite sure what we are capable at the moment of playing like the old Liverpool style, because like things have had to change. I don't think we're ever going to. It's going to be. Even if everyone was fit this season, I don't think we're going to go back to the style of play that you're suggesting, where we attack with numbers and are defensively solid, because I think too many players have declined for that. We haven't got the same centre mids anymore who offer you what you need to get it. I think, and I even could include Virgil, I think all the centre halves, Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez, even Kanate, are not quite at it. That can change, of course, yeah. But I think my looking at, again, glass half full, was that they've identified. We are even the games we were winning, a reference to Villa, a reference to Leicester, the goalie is making far too many saves. We have to stop that. And then the Wolves game, I think, was actually the template. We're going to try and make ourselves as difficult to beat as we can, and we're going to hope one of those lads up there does something magic and scores. Now, that isn't a sustainable plan, but it's sustainable. It's
they're earning the right to play football at the moment. You've got to earn the right by not conceding goals.
You've got to reboot, and I think it was kind of, I agree with the notion of like, well, come on, lads, you know, we are good. We'll get this working again. This, at least to me, says they've identified they're not stupid. They've gone, well, with this, we've tried this and it's not worked. Now's the time to try and flip it round. We've got a game a week now for a few weeks where they've got a chance to actually work on some stuff. But looking at it, we've lost six games in the league this season. For comparison, we've won eight, drawn five, lost six. Newcastle, who are third in the league, have drawn nine this season. And what we need to do, and it's really tough because we've gone from being a team that wins, that loses one or two games a season, to not being that. And it's mad to get your head around it, but we've got to go back to basics of be a team that learns how to fucking draw games first. And then when you get to the end of the season, you're frustrated. It's the draws that have cost us. Well, we'd all fucking bite your hand off for that. Again, that's what we need to get back to. And then when you've learned how to draw, you learn how to win more games. We've got to stop losing. We've got to stop losing football matches. We've got to stop conceding the first goal, and we've got to stop losing football games. And that's got to be the mission for the next couple of weeks. And then you decide where you're at, and then you can hopefully add more to it.
I am excited to see what this current midfield looks like with the good attackers on as well. So if it's by chance, it's Thiago and Naby, but with a Jota or a Diaz or even a Firmino, because at the moment it's two, and whoever's on the left wing is just dossing about doing a job. Whether it's Chamberlain, Elliot, Jones, whoever it is, they're just Carvalho, whoever it is, if you could get me.
It needs Nunes on there.
If it's Nunes or whatever, whoever, if it's Nunes, Gakpo and Salah, or get Bobby back in there, whatever, I think this midfield has got the capability to be a bit more box to box. and also or offer a bit more protection to allow Robertson Trent to go. I think it has got that potential. Bajetas just needs to get the ability to finish a game, because at the minute he's a young kid, but like his gas tank's emptied on an hour ish both games, and then unfortunately the lad we brought on has been fucking crap, which hasn't helped. So I can see that there's a couple of good signs from it. We're nowhere near where we are at the minute. We're like a mid-table, upper mid-table team. But at least, like, I'm with you. You can climb this table very, very quickly just by not getting beat. Because this is what top four races are like. They are. We saw it this weekend. All of our rivals didn't win for that top four. Well, I know Tottenham won on Monday, but on the weekend. So Newcastle didn't win. Man United didn't win. And before you know it, you're like, oh, that wasn't too bad. Even Brighton didn't win. It's not that difficult.
Nah, I disagree there. Only from the fact of, we actually need the wins to close the gap.
No, but we're going to have
the draws ain't going to close no gaps.
No, but I think if you think
it's going to stop the rot. If we shoot, but at the moment, go and play football.
Yeah.
But like, we need to start attacking. And I think you're right. I think when Diaz and Jota come back, we'll be a completely different outfit. Firmino's massive. Gakpo there for me at the weekend. It's far too soon to have an opinion one way or the other on Cody right now. But what concerned me is physically he was bullied by Chelsea centre-halves. Yeah. And that only comes with time and going up against players who are stronger than you to work out how to use your body well. That was a concern in that one. Bobby would have had fun with that. Yeah. He'd have enjoyed that.
We can't afford to shoot. It would
be a completely different outfit for having him up there.
We can't afford to shoot for wins yet, because we need to put the foundations in place. And I agree, wins are going to make the big difference. You're not going to get anywhere by drawing every game of football. But that's the point, is that we're not good enough yet to go out and start playing, go back to playing attacking football, because if we were, we'd just be doing it. We've been trying it all season. We're ninth because we've been trying that all season long. Sorry, I need to move on because we're well over time on this. It'll be what it be. It's a bit crap at the moment, but fingers crossed. One thing, we'll do more on this in the build-up too, but Spy and Cop are putting flyers out on the Cop ahead of the game. They've been doing stuff on social media to organise like a flag day for the Merseyside Derby. So
it could be the last one in a while.
It could be. If you've got flag scars...
Not about the championship.
We are only 14 points off bottom.
Chloe.
If you've got a flag, if you've got a scarf and you're going to the Derby, then make sure you bring it along. Very short break from us, and then we're going to be looking ahead to Brighton versus Liverpool in the FA Cup.
My Liverpool debut, a new series, exploring where it all began for a number of Anfield favourites.
We had that belief and nothing was going to get in our way, nothing was going to stop us. I was just fortunate to get my chance.
I'm about to wear the red strip for the first time and play with all the wonderful talent that I was in awe of.
And the travelling Liverpool fans started singing my name. You can imagine how special that felt.
Football saved my life.
It was amazing to be part of that lineup with that caliber of players.
I knew I deserved to be there. I knew I deserved that chance. I knew I was ready.
I'm Jamie Carragher.
I'm Phil Thompson.
I'm Martin Kelly.
I'm Jim Beglin.
I'm Neil Mellor.
My name is Bruce David Garobola.
And this is my Liverpool debut.
Do get involved in my Liverpool debut if you want to have a welcome distraction. You need Liverpool in your life, but you can't be arsed with this current Liverpool in your life. Then get closer to some of the heroes of the past who all got to pull on that famous red shirt and make their debut. Hear their stories, all episodes streaming now on redmenplus.com. Right.
We should do one of those on our game at Anfield. Was it last season? The season before,
when we played.
Yeah, we should do one and see how much I can actually remember of the day.
You were so pissed that day. It was dead funny. Yeah, it was good fun. It was very good fun. Anyway,
Brighton, the Liverpool players now are bad. You want to see the first thing I did when I got on the Anfield turn? My word.
Was that the one where you just went?
I tried to turn left and fell over.
Yeah. You fell over a few times that day.
I was so pissed off on the night before.
Brighton versus Liverpool, FA Cup. Chris, these pricks again.
Liverpool, yeah.
Fucking hell. Stop it.
Yeah, again, fucking hell. I'm not even over last weekend yet. I'm back at it. This is what concerns me, I suppose, and probably why I was feeling more like closer to Chloe's opinions on the game at the weekend. I think if we come up against a good side and we defend like we did at the weekend, we're going to get absolutely pulled everywhere, because I just didn't see enough there. I'm concerned that Brighton knock us out easily, to be honest with you. And, you know, the last game was a real eye-opener for me, and it probably was the last remnant of hope that this Liverpool side could turn it around quickly disappeared with that Brighton game. They absolutely embarrassed us because they showed us what a good side plays like. I'd not seen a good side for a while, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you go from being like, oh, you know, we're in bad form, but, you know, X amount of reasons, well, they're just getting the rhythm back, they're just doing X, Y, and Z. There's a very fine line between you're actually crap and you're being a bit lucky, and your luck's about to, it's all about to click for you. And there's a real delusion that comes with that. I watched Man United be that for, like, since Alex Ferguson left, really. And you're right, it's a worry. And that's why it's a big test. Obviously, we've had Wolves twice. I think the Wolves game at Anfield and obviously the Brighton game away, they were kind of weird watershed moments in Liverpool's season to some extent. They've obviously triggered a change in what their approach is going to be. So as much as, the idea of having to play Brighton again is absolutely fucking exhausting. It being the FA Cup, it being a bit of it's not a free hit as such because there's a bit more pressure.
Is it a giant killing if we win?
We'll be underdog. I'm getting Brighton to be favourites. It'll be an acid test with this new system. We talk about, is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? Well, we'll find out. Because the last one got torn to bits by them. That was quite the journey we had to do to go and see that. So, being the gentleman I am, I'm sending Chloe this week. I'm fucking that again. It's a long way. But it will be an acid test of that. Like, with what has changed. You know, we might lose still, but do we get played off the park by them? Like, that's the thing. Like,
we won't be playing a 10 in Thiago.
Thiago, I'd be shocked if
it's, if they go with that again. Honestly, like, yeah, gonna leave his head test.
If actually Chamberlain and Thiago were just standing in the same place for the entire game, something has probably gone wrong. But I think, listen,
we need to give them something to worry about as well. I don't think like, I think Darwin's the way Darwin, we played against Chelsea, and that's the
I think
point.
Darwin's the key for that. Isn't
Darwin and Trent,
we have to concern them.
At least give them. Well, I made the two. I was again. I've got to reference it. The couple of times against Brighton when we pressed, we actually forced them into mistakes. We just didn't do it consistently. We actually did it at Chelsea. Gakpo, when he took the ball off Young Hall. When we did it, we were all right. We just, for whatever reason, whereas the legs, they just can't do it constantly. It will be, I'm interested to see if it's like, did we just do what we've done in the last couple of games to stop the rot and then there's a progression to come? Or is that, are we just that now? Are we just that? And with that, we're going to be that for a long time.
And this is what happened toward the end of Rafa, exactly this time of year, where we didn't win the title in 08-09. We started the next season rubbish. And we got to January and he had to go back to basics. And our fans really struggled with that. The difference was, of course, is that Rafa had been fighting that huge battle against the owners at the time, and there was a real split opinion on him. And this is my point about this, going back to the earlier point. You got that in the stands, and you got that in the pubs. There were fellas who just had enough of Benitez, and then all this, like, he was lucky to win the Champions League and all this kind of stuff had started to come out. All his credit in the bank had kind of been worn out by that point. But you're right, we're on that precipice now where we're going to see in the next few weeks of, we just need to see some incremental, like Klopp saying, baby steps. We need to see that we're making slight improvements.
I think also
game out.
And then they've got the training time to do it, which is the thing. You can't, at this month's good. It's going to get bad soon.
Provided no more people get fucking
injured. No, but even so, they've always, Jürgen and the coaching staff have always maintained, give us time on the exit and we'll box things off. You've got the time. We saw absolutely none of that in the last couple of weeks. In fact, the best game we played for a while was 2 days after we'd just been, you know, I'm not having that. So you've got, this is your time. Like, whatever it is between early Saturday to early Sunday, that's as big a break as you're ever going to get. What have you done? What have you worked on? How many years are injured? Because that happens every, people walk into the accident and fall over and get hurt. So be on that. That's a concern. Where'd that come from? Oh, Trent's injured. Oh, all right, Sam. So you got that, work on that as well. But like, I'd be interested to see what has changed, because I would be shocked, I've been shocked plenty of times, if they think we can do what we did at the weekend away at Brighton, the team who have just ran us off the park. And like, there's got to be a subtle change. My guess is the subtle change is what you just said. It's offer them something on the counter-attack.
My strong suspicion is, if you plugged Trent Alexander-Arnold and Darwin Nunes into that team straight away, like, Darwin on the left, Trent at right back, Chloe, we're going to be naturally more of a threat, because you've got a guy who wants to get the ball and run at the opposition defence, and you've got a guy who wants to pass it to him.
Yeah, you do. I mean, nice. Yeah, look, Trent's unbelievable at passing a ball. We know that. You can pick them out from anywhere, and Darwin's always on the shoulder, so he'll give the defenders something to think about. When we played them, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, they literally, all of us were in front of them. No one wanted to run in behind and give them something to think about on the break. So, yeah, that'll help us. But going back to what I said earlier against Chelsea, I mean, you turned around and went, we were all right at defending aside from every set piece. That's not good at defending. That's not good at defending. And therefore, I am concerned because they bullied us all over the park. Like, they'd do one, two passes and your three midfielders would be nowhere. So someone was going to have to foul them or a goal was going to come. We can't be naive and play like that. Kick them in the first several minutes. Get them... Play... Make it a nasty game of football. Yeah. Make it.
Brighton are horrible, aren't they? In the way you want your team to be, they are gnarly bastards. They love like scrapping and pulling and kicking and all that kind of
but
stuff.
But do that whenever Everton come to Anfield, you always think to yourself, they're going to make this tough. They're going to literally fight for everything. They're going to make it a scruffy game. Liverpool, in terms of doing it scruffy, the problem is that we genuinely gift people things now anyway. So maybe that's not the best thing to do. But what you need to do is you need to catch them on the break, make them think in behind. But also, the marking from corners. I don't know what... I just don't know what we did in the month off, the 6 weeks off in the World Cup. Because every set piece, I'm thinking it's a goal.
I don't think Liverpool would have worked on corners that much. I think they had too many other problems to fix. The 60 minutes of open play football would have been a big concern for them, to be honest. One thing I'm interested to see with this game is where he plays Darwin. The general consensus is probably people are thinking we're going to play Darwin on the left. But I'm thinking... I get that, and I think Darwin probably is best on the left, but what's the future? Like, if he plays Darwin on the left and Diaz comes back, where does Darwin fit into the side? Because you're basically telling me that Darwin's not a centre-forward almost, and that's the big thing for me. Because I said when we signed Gakpo, I think he might be the long-term replacement for me, and I've seen a lot of people start coming around to that now as well. Is Diaz the right winger when Mo goes? I'm struggling to see the... joined up thinking
I think at the moment, yeah, you've just got to find something that works, haven't you? And you need pace. We've got Salah just doesn't look on it in the same way. And Darwin is just so electric. You need to give him space to run into to terrify people. I have no idea how fast Gakpo is. It's also the point. We've not really seen him do that. And I think you're right. I think, look, ultimately, I think the plan will be far more fluidity in the front three. So you want lads who can do both. So in any given moment, you know, when Darwin's naturally drifting out to the left, you want someone who's desperate to go and get in the centre because it's their chance to be between the sticks. Right now, it's interesting because we saw it in the Wolves game. Gakpo from the left, and he played that ball over to Salah when he was questionably onside, offside, whatever. That's what you get from Gakpo, I think, when you put him out wide. But he's also, I think he feels like from the left, he's the kind of guy who does he want to sit deeper and orchestrate a bit too much. At least with Darwin, he's desperate to just run. Yeah. And so at least you're just gonna stretch teams when you play him out wide. And then you let Gakpo just knit things together a little bit. And then worry when Diaz comes back, you work out what you're doing then more than anything else.
It's gotta be I agree, it's like it was Duncan, I think, but Colwell, I think, at the back, wasn't it, against those. They never had to turn around once. They were never facing their own goal at any point in the game. So it was easy for them. Everything was easy for them. Whereas if Darwin's there, at least you've got to worry about that. You'll be offside five times, but the sixth one you might time it right. You know, whatever, and it gives you an outboard because the issue we had against Brighton was that we just kept kicking it back to them into space, and there was no one there. It is a concern. I'm not sure Gakpo was a centre forward, if I'm honest, but I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed there again because. What I actually thought he did all right against Chelsea was that you can't play the ball into and he does keep it. It was quite basic, simple stuff, but it was sticking a bit because, again, go back to the last game against Brighton, every time he kicked it long or cleared it, it was just coming back. It was wave after wave after wave. So I think he'll stick with the same midfield and I think he should. And I'd be interested to see how Bajetis does in that one because I think he's done well against good teams, like decent. it's mad to think, but Brighton are better than Wolves and they are better than Chelsea. So against a team who have literally, in the last couple of weeks, ran rings around us with in the midfield, I'd be keen to see, because Adam Lallana had the freedom of the Amex.
And that goes back to my whole point on this, because I think everyone's now Bacetic. I think he's such a talent. I'm so excited to see what he can do. And obviously people forever will remain indifferent one way or the other, or hyper one way or the other, and that'd be Keita and Thiago, etc. I want to see Henderson have a good game. I want to see Fabinho have a good game as well. I don't think we need to be totally wedded to, you know, they've both had a bit of a time off now. You know, they've had a little bit of rest time. You know, we need some of the other lads actually need to come in. I don't want to see Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson necessarily restored as the midfield three. There'll be times for it. There will be, and there'll have to be. But you know, I'm hoping this is a game where, because Adam Lallana proves the point, is that this we're getting a bit lost on. Oh, they're old and they're all this and that. You can turn in good performances. Where we're struggling is to turn in two good performances back to back. And we kind of had that. The Wolves, the midfield, looked knackered by the time we got to 60 minutes against Chelsea. And we then hung on a little bit too long. And then we put Harvey Elliott back into it, who'd done a big shift.
On the subs.
Yeah, it was, you know.
That's my worry, though. The subs made us worse the other day.
Every time Fab's come on, he's been crap.
So to see them from the start, that's what I'd be concerned about. And you're going to have to rotate it at some point, because Stefan Bajetic is not used to playing 90 minutes week in, week out. Thiago, you never know when he's going to pick up an injury. Naby Keita might not even be available because he's already picked up an injury. This is the problem. So you're going to have to change it at some point. And I don't know if you can rely on them, because what I'm still seeing from them in drips and drabs is that they come on and they just make us a worse team.
I disagree a little. I get overall point, Paul, but they've had no right to be rotated back in. I get at some point they're going to have to...
Well, you don't know that, because that's based on our 90-minute view of 90-minute views of football matches. One of my points is they're training every day.
Okay, whatever training Fabinho did before he came on against Chelsea, he must... What was he doing? Because, yeah. Oh, my God. So I think you've got to go with it. And Jürgen said the other day, didn't he, his press conference, the door was open for Stefan Bajetic and he's walked through it. He's Liverpool's DM now. So it's up to someone else to take it off.
I think I'm probably talking more about Naby Keita, if I'm being honest, is that I thought he was good against Wolves. I thought he looked good in his cameos, but he didn't have a... There was nothing about his performance against Chelsea that went, this guy's got to be the absolute main man for us in midfield moving forward.
It's like he didn't
shift. But he can't. So someone else is going to have to come in. We need other lads to come in. And while Fabinho and Henderson, you know, are there, I want that. I want our senior lads to step up, because we're going to need everyone. Everyone's going to need support. I'm really pleased with Bacetic, and I think Thiago's risen to the challenge quite well in the last week or so. And I thought Naby's come in and shown that he can be an option. But okay, cool. Who else now? Who else is going to show that they're prepared and they're not going to compromise what we're doing? And hopefully, if we've got a system where you can rotate a little bit more, we maintain a level.
We don't actually need to rotate at the minute. The games are so spread out, we don't need to rotate. And that's the hope that
you fucking Naby apologist.
No, listen, mate.
We do though, because we know that they're going to get injured.
That's the flip side of it.
We can't just have Henderson come in after a month off.
He's got to come on.
He's got to play games. You can't just come on for 20 minutes and then 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 90. He needs 60s, he needs 70s, as much as we don't want to do it. Paul's right, he needs to be in the flow. He might not be the first name on the team sheet anymore, and he's far from the first name on the team sheet. I would say his best performance this season came in an England shirt, if I'm being quite honest with you. Yeah. I think he's been really poor this season. But with a little bit of rest and all that, you do hope that he's going to be able to come back in. Yeah. And you said it, Adam Lallana is the perfect example. He was slow and fucking tired 3 years ago when we sold him, and he ran rings around all of us. So it's about conditions, it's about being used at the right time, and that's what Liverpool need to get back to. We can't just play the same 11 players every week.
Because Bacetic, Thiago, Naby Keita are not going to play.
Yeah.
And I know we're not playing two games a week at this point, so that might you might be right in that regard, Steve, that this might not be quite the time for it. But that's what I'm saying. It's almost feeling encouraged about what we're doing. I really want to see someone else now. I'd like to see Jordan come in and have a really good game for us, because Milner's not going to play this one, and I think Milner's leadership on the pitch has been important. That always gets underrated. So Jordan Henderson can have a bad game, but still be a good captain on the pitch in terms of what he does and what he gets around him.
Play him right back then, put him centre in the middle.
Yeah. But we could do with that. We need a bit of that on the pitch. Super chat, Asim Mahmood, thank you so much. Says love the new studio, guys. Boss. Yeah, well, I get to. It's comfortable. Obviously we'll be doing loads more on this. Are you doing the build-up show this week?
Yes.
Excellent. Who you got on?
Friday. I'm working on that. Mick's coming in. Mick Brown from the Cop Eye podcast. That's Friday. I'm not sure who else. Yeah, I'm still working on that. I had one and then they bailed on me.
Brilliant.
So we crack on. But
keep that to yourself.
Whoever it is will be brilliant, I promise you.
There you go. Brilliant. Fantastic, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Fucking, doing deep dive?
I am indeed doing deep dive. Me and Josh are going to do something again. We've not set the topics yet. But I saw a tweet, and quite often these things come from something I've seen online. I did see a tweet about the amount of shot that Salisson's facing this season, and I wanted to dive into that a little bit more. So that could be one of the topics, but not set on it yet.
Chloe, how's your week looking so far?
I'm going to Brighton.
Yeah, I'm going to Brighton.
You look
made up. Yeah, what a Sunday that is.
Don't go then.
No, of course I'm. You don't
want to
go.
I know. Steve, who's done nothing but whinge about not getting to enough games, just turned down so many games.
One game.
No, it's so.
Which
many
game have you turned down?
You've turned down Wolves. You've turned down Brighton. You turned down.
I don't turn down games. Me, I go.
I'm going. I'll go to Newcastle.
Oh, look at that.
Oh right, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be good. I've got Jano on Thursday. Neil's back on Thursday as well. I'm desperate. I want to know what this Mason Mount stuff. Because it feels like there's proper legs in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love it.
I think he'd be boss for us, you know.
You know what? I think he might be a bit rubbish, but I think he suits.
I think Jurgen Klopp sees Adam Lallana in him.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, and again, people have weird opinions on Lallana. That spell when he the early days of Klopp, but it was all energy, all pressure, great control, great vision stuff. Didn't score loads of goals, but he fit really well what we did. There was one pass from Mount at the weekend. He did not in all game, but there was one where he played like an over-the-head volleyed cross. And I was like, ooh. You know, just that little moment. Like, okay, I can
see. There was a reason Jurgen kept going back to Lallana, even when his legs had fell off, because he wanted something like that in his team. So it sounds like there's something in it, doesn't it? Like it's coming from really reputation. I'll get Neil to weigh in on that on Thursday.
Lovely comment here from MightyRed_97 is one of our YouTube members. Says, I'm from South Africa and I run a Liverpool fan account on Instagram, and I get told every day that I can't support the club because of where I'm from. So thank you so much for sticking up for us. Absolutely. You stick up for people who are passionate about the football club. This is the point. We all love Liverpool. And it's a funny thing. I always turn around my head. I'm like, nobody loves Liverpool more than me. But it's not to mean that you don't love Liverpool as much as me. It's just that I fucking adore Liverpool Football Club. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people all sat up on this tier of how much we adore Liverpool Football Club. But that's the point, is that, you know, it should be a shared love with people. You know, we all want Liverpool to be good. We all want Liverpool to be better. And that's what you were talking about before. It's about buying. It's about buying into the culture. It's about trying to learn
and
as much as you can
about
it.
More than any other fan base, you know, I've met Man United fans from abroad, I've met Chelsea fans, I've met loads of Liverpool fans from abroad, I've been dead lucky. The buy-in from them is more than any other club or any other people that I've ever seen. So they understand the culture more because there is more culture.
Yep.
It's there, it's just more on show, and they buy into that well more than fans of your Man Uniteds and your Chelseas abroad.
We did an open-top bus tour through New York with a replica European Cup trophy organised by American Liverpool fans. There was a boat party on the Bosphorus ahead of the Super Cup.
We were in Harlem
Cup.
Giving shit to some fella in a Barcelona chair from the top of the bus. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it if we weren't on the bus and I was on the top. But like, I did do it and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, again, the point, and again, I think we've been pretty clear on this, but I don't care whether you've got a purple bin or an L postcode, or whether you know your dad and your great granddad and all that have supported Liverpool all your lives, because there are people who are meths who've had that in their lives as well. But again, it's all about
being good people.
We behave differently to most football clubs. We just do. There are stock ways. It's the reason we don't. You go to a game, every fan base sings the same songs. It's the reason we don't sing "He's One of Our Own" or "Shall We Sing a Song for You" and all these kind of same shite songs.
I know the words to all of them though, because you sing them every week.
Every fucking week. so there's so many generic football clubs, and we're not. That means you do have to pay a little bit more attention and learn more and be more receptive to certain things. But it's so rewarding for it, you know what I mean?
I mean, look at the cost compared to anywhere else. We have flags. We design the flags ourselves.
You go to the fucking Emirates, and a fucking City have got this now, where they like they make the club make their own banners and stick them to the fucking stadium, like. It's mad. So you got the clock end and like the famous Arsenal. It's like it's a permanent part of your ground. Fans don't bring that. We bring our own shit.
Like Joe's before kick-off still.
Sometimes you're in the game.
Sometimes you're in the game, yeah.
Thankfully, because I think they might have scored then.
So, if you want more from us, we're going to be chatting Frank Lampard's dismissal and having a good laugh with that over on Red Men Podcast Extra immediately live after this on redmenplus.com. It's also going to be in podcast form for after the fact if you need more of that. Do, if you want to keep up to date with all the daily Liverpool news stuff, we've got the Bite Size Podcast, which is free on all podcasting platforms. We had a good few chat, I think. It was a good stuff about...
That sounded great.
I know, I've really nailed that in every possible way, shape, or... I had a good bit of words.
Had a good chat.
With myself about a whole host of topics. I can't remember any of them now because I'm on the spot. Yeah, I know. Well, as long as I'm talking to myself, it's fine. This is where it starts to get annoying.
I can see why.
Bite
People
size.
Just keep interrupting you.
It's a free daily thing. Podcast that you can get up to date with all of the Liverpool Small stories. Are you doing
news?
It today?
Yes.
This thing? Are you doing it today? Good luck with that.
No chance.
Well, you don't need luck.
I'm going to go into my car and do it so that you can't bother me.
Anyway.
Bite sized, good. Going to be on football things.
Thank you for all of that. I'm Paul Machin, that's Dee Hort, and that's Chloe Bloxham. We'll see you all very soon. Ta-da. If you enjoyed this podcast, then we've got a whole load more for you right now. Head over to redmenplus.com. You can get extra Red Men podcasts. You've got Around the League, you've got The Debate Show, Journo Insight with Neil Jones, and Podcast Extra, all the stuff that we could never possibly broadcast on public spaces. It is there, available in your native podcasting app on the go as well. Head to redmenplus.com and sign up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.